Thank you for coming. Oh boy, that's really a booming voice, isn't it? I'm Dick Howard. I chair the law school's rather pretentiously named International Relations Committee, which I'm sure gives you the picture of Professor Howard junketing around from country to country. Don't I wish. What it means is, among other things, I'm responsible for, at least for this present year, for the administration of the study abroad program. Paul Mahoney had chaired it the last year or two. He probably knows more about the details and interstices of this program than I would pretend to know. But at any rate, I want to walk you through basically what the program is about, what you would want to know if you want to apply for study abroad. Quite simply, the program I'm going to talk about here is not you're going just anywhere to study, it's with those universities and law schools with whom we have an exchange relationship. In other words, we send students to them and they send students to us. It's a fairly small program in numbers. I think I could call it a quality program in that my recollection, having served on this committee before, is that the International Relations Committee is very rigorous about selecting the sister or brother schools, the exchange schools. There are not that many of them. If you've looked at the website or the announcement that we sent out, you'll know there are only six or eight schools with whom we have relations. There are a lot more with whom we've thought about. There are some with whom we've had relations in the past that, if they haven't worked out to our satisfaction, we quietly let them go. So I think, in looking at the program wholesale, I think I can fairly say that there's been a quality control element so that once you are in the program and at a school for a semester, I think we've done the sort of groundwork to try to at least do our best that you have a good experience. We would like to think that if you spend a semester somewhere else, it really will be satisfactory to you and to us. So that's our hope, and I think that's not unfair. The program, the cycle that we're in right now, for which if you're applying, you would be interested, would be the fall of 2011, next fall, with one exception, and that's Tel Aviv University, for which it's the spring of next year. That's the only exception. The rest of them are for the fall. I'm not going to take the time here to walk you through the individual programs. They vary a lot. And what I would urge you to do, if you think you'd like to apply for study abroad, go to the website where we have links to each of these particular universities, and then look at what they say about themselves. One thing you will discover, aside from what you learned in the classroom at a foreign school, you will discover how incredibly different the sort of administrative and bureaucratic side of education abroad is. That in itself will be a learning experience. So I invite you not to lose patience if you're working out the details of enrollment and all the rest of it at a foreign university. The chances are that it will be obviously different from ours, but the chances are it'll turn out to be more complicated. That doesn't mean it won't work out. It will. But it just takes a little patience on your part, so don't be surprised. The schools with whom we have relationships, I mentioned Tel Aviv for next spring, and you should note regarding Tel Aviv that though knowledge of Hebrew is not required, it would be a plus. So if you apply for that university and you have a working knowledge of Hebrew, that would simply weigh into the balance as a factor that would be make you more attractive for that particular university. The others, as I mentioned, are in the fall of 2011. One in New Zealand, that's the University of Auckland. One in Germany, that's Bucerius, that's a private law school. I think it's the first private law school in Germany. The other law schools are state universities. And in the case of Bucerius, like Tel Aviv, knowledge of German is not required, but it's a plus. So if you speak German, do mention that on your application if you indicate Bucerius, because that would be make you more attractive to that school. We've just signed on our first Hispanic law school, the Instituto de Empresa in Madrid. We have been looking for sort of Latin American or Hispanic partners, and we've not been happy with some others that we thought about. We think we finally have nailed down a very good school. Some of our faculty have actually visited there, and they're impressed with what they saw. So you have that school in Madrid, and then two Australian universities, Melbourne and Sydney, and then finally in Japan, Waseda University. Now, let me mention, if you apply for the New Zealand or Australian schools, for Auckland or Melbourne or Sydney, you should make a note that the timing is very important. Their program started July, not later. So it means that if you apply for and are accepted to one of those schools, you have to plan to wrap up whatever else you're doing that summer in time to be at the university in question when classes start. So that's pretty important, because you personally may find for some reason that's not going to work for you. Well, if it's not, you should know that in advance and not apply for one of those schools. I'm going to talk separately in a minute about the program we have at, there are two programs in Paris. One is a January term course, which I'll talk about separately. But there is a year-long program in Paris, and let me talk about that separately in a moment as well. For the one semester courses, everything but Paris, it is a one semester, 12-hour credit. So you get 12 credits that you transfer to UVA for credit towards graduation here. You can also, if you'd like to earn more credits that semester, you may, if you like, sign up for an independent research program with a professor here, write a paper under that professor's supervision, and get hours of credit for that. So, but that's totally optional. That's entirely up to you whether you want to add that on or not. The Paris program is a full year program. I'm going to leave January aside for a moment, but we have a relationship with Sorbonne and Sciences Po in Paris. And this would be for the fall of 2011 and spring of 2012. And that gives you 27 hours and two residency semesters. Those fall programs that I've already talked about give you a one semester residency. This program gives you two. This is also interesting because it gives you a French law diploma, which allows you to stand for the French bar. Now, that will impress your friends, right? I mean, you go to a cocktail party and say that I've stood for the French bar. I mean, not all your friends have done that, so that'd be pretty neat, I think. For that program, fluency in French is required. Remember I said for the Tel Aviv program and the Bucerius program, Hebrew and German, respectively, are a plus but not required. But in this case, fluency in French is required for the year-long program in Paris. Now, application procedures are really pretty simple for the one-semester programs. Basically, you apply by giving us a resume, a transcript of your law grades. It need not be official. And thirdly, a brief statement of about 300 words explaining why you want to go. And I do recommend that you, in your statement, talk about the particular school to which you would like to go if you're accepted into the program. So if you wanted to go, let's say, to Auckland, give us some understanding why that's the school that you'd like to go to. Now, this is not in the written material, but it does occur to me that it would be useful in your statement, at the end of your statement, if having talked about your preference, if you think you'd like to have a fallback school or two that, suppose, for example, now we'll have maybe, Kerry will talk about this in a moment, but let's suppose we have two places at a given university, and we have three or four people who we think are qualified and who would like to go to that university, we might then assign two to that university, but then ask the sort of people, let's call them the wait list people, would they perhaps like to be assigned to a different university? So think about whether in that case there might be an alternate school to which you'd be happy to go if you don't get your first preference. We may do a little shuffling around in the selection process depending on the number of people who apply and which school they express a preference for. Deadline, very important. Not very long from now, and I apologize that But on the other hand, I think it's plenty of time to put the materials together. Friday, October the 1st is what, about 2 weeks from this weekend, isn't it? From tomorrow, 2 weeks. I mean, plenty of time to do it, but it'll, you know, don't let it sneak up on you, because we really must insist on that deadline to do our work of sifting the applications and making decisions. So applications for all of these programs would be Friday, October the 1st. The selection committee, which is the International Relations Committee, will then read the applications and work up a list and get back to you, I predict, mid to late October. So with plenty of advance time for you to begin thinking, making your plans. Now, one reason we're having an early application deadline and a fairly early selection process is that once we have acted, let's say you apply and the committee says, fine, we select you and you agree, then you have to go forward with the process of applying to the other university, to the foreign university. Now, so admission there is not automatic. Now, I would be very surprised. We, in effect, nominate our people to the foreign universities. And there's no reason to suppose they will not act upon those nominations favorably. That's why we've got these exchange programs in place. So I predict that they'll say, fine, you're sending us two people, they're great. But you still have to go through their application process and do whatever they ask, you know, fill out whatever forms and all the rest of it. So that, I think we're giving you plenty of time to do that. A word or two about, before I take questions, which I'm happy to do, January term in Paris. This is a different sort of arrangement from the one I've just been describing. The program in Paris begins January the 9th, is that correct? Has it been changed to January the?
Students need to be in Paris on January 13th.
January 13th.
For an orientation and dinner that evening.
Okay.
And classes start the next day, the 14th.
Okay. So you would have to be in Paris on January the 13th for the orientation and dinner. And then you would have to be back here in time for registration of classes here. So you can't, that's not waived. I mean, you have to be sure you look at your calendar. There's time to do all that, but you want to be sure you do it. You get one credit. It's like our January term courses here. You get one academic credit in French public and private law. Again, it's great for cocktail parties, I can assure you. Friends don't want to know about legal problems in Paris. This is taught in English. French, knowledge of French is not required for this January term course, unlike the year-long course that I've already described. They have other sessions and visits. I think they take you to the Cour de Cassation or whatever, you know, some of the French courts, and you'll meet some interesting people in addition to the actual course itself. There are no course prerequisites. There's nothing, no other UVA course that you need have taken before you take this one. That's perfectly perfectly open, and any students 1L, 2L, 3L may apply for the January term course. No bars there. However, if there are more applications than there are spaces, we would give preference to 3Ls, then 2Ls, then 1Ls, and we'd have a wait list if need be, if in case anything happened. There's a take-home exam. I think they give you an exam that's administered here, if I'm not mistaken, here in Charlottesville. There's lodging and meals. They make provisions for that. I think there's a fee that you can pay, which will give you lodging and will give you accommodations with half lodging, which is breakfast and one other meal, and then you'd be the other meal would be up to you. Travel arrangements, you would make your own arrangements to fly to Paris and back, as long as you work out the dates that I've just mentioned. I think, and I'll leave this to Carrie Bennett, I think if there are any financial aid considerations, if there's any extra expense and you're finding that burdensome and you hope to get a little bit of assistance, I think you can talk to our student records office about that. Now, the application deadline here is the same one as for the other programs, Friday, October the 1st, 12 o'clock noon. But the actual application is different. The only procedure here, only thing you have to submit is a one-page form which you fill out, but you don't have to write a statement or provide the other data that you do for the study abroad. I think that's the bare bones of it. I mean, those to me are the questions I thought about, and I would be delighted if you all have questions. Yes?
I noticed in the email that it's not included, and I was wondering if you still have a program in England.
We used to have a program at Nottingham, and it's not part of our program for next year.
It's not.
It's not.
Is there any way to structure your own program? I've read about that, too, that you can sort of, if you have a certain place that you want to go, that you can sort of select it and just sort it out yourself as long as it's approved by the university?
Yeah, if there's a university to which you would like to go for a semester and it's not part of our exchange program, there is a procedure, and the course directory spells this out. It's a fairly complicated procedure. But there's something called student-initiated study. And so I'm not going to try to walk you through that because it's simply too much detail, but it means that basically you formulate and devise a proposal. Suppose you wanted to go to Nottingham and it's not part of our present program. You would need to have a professor here at the law school, in effect, vouch for your proposal and say, yes, I'll be responsible for this end of it. And you would need to have somebody at the other university, a professor there, who would more or less be your mentor while there. So it means you do some corresponding. To sort of set it up, the course directory spells out exactly all the steps you would take, and that's a totally separate from the study abroad exchange program.
Would you have the same deadline? When is the deadline for that?
No.
Your proposal has to be to the same committee,
right?
The National Relations Committee, by April 1st, I believe.
I think that's right.
By November 1st for spring.
Yeah, I think that's correct. So if you were thinking about the fall of 2011, your deadline would be April the 1st of 2011. But you'd want to get cracking on it early because you'd have to talk with somebody here, correspond with somebody there. A lot of things you'd want to work out so that's all in the package when you apply. So you wouldn't wait till April to do that. But the deadline itself, as Kerry says, is well off. If you're thinking about that as an option, I would start working on it this fall. Start the process of deciding on where do I want to go and what subject. You need to pitch a research project, an actual topic, and it can't be something sort of general like European community law. You'd want an actual research topic. And you would want someone here who says, yes, I think that's a good topic, and I'll work with her on it. And you'd need somebody at the other university, likewise, to say, yes, I think what she's got is a good idea. So you see, there's a little bit of lead time in putting all that together. But that is an option. That's certainly. Other questions?
Yeah. Add one point. It must be.
Let me give you that.
Thank you.
Yeah.
For the student-initiated study abroad program, the institution that you make your arrangements with has to be a foreign institution. It can't be, you know, the University of Pennsylvania's law school in London.
Okay.
Right. Good point. Thank you. Although there are some American universities that I would call foreign, but that's not. But I take Kerry's point. You had a question.
Well, along those lines, do you have a list of students who've done that in the past, or someone who's coordinated that, so we can get more information about.
Is there any privacy reason we couldn't share a list of former students who've been studying abroad, exchange students?
Who manage it, just so we have someone to talk to who's been through it, you know, like kind of the steps you need to take.
The only thing we can do in that regard is try and get you. We could. I have to respect the privacy of the students who are there now, who are on exchange programs now, and I frankly would, on the assumption we have more applicants than we have spaces, I think it would be best to wait till you're accepted and then maybe talking to people who are actually at that institution.
I'm speaking to the create your own.
I'm sorry.
I'm about creating your own.
The same program.
We've only had three in almost 10 years.
It's been quite rare, in fact. Okay. Yeah, I think because it is.
Where did they go on?
One went to China. One went to Spain. And we have a gentleman in Japan right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then I have another question about the Madrid
program.
Does that require...
I'm sorry, which program?
Madrid.
Madrid.
Does that require Spanish?
It does not.
No.
I mean, I would make the obvious observation that if you have some knowledge of a language for any country you're going to, and I suppose I would include Australian in that as being not exactly the kind of English we're used to, but I mean, if you know Spanish, if you know German, French, whatever, I think you're going to get more out of the experience. And I will add that in the case of Bucerius and Tel Aviv, that if you know German or Hebrew respectively, I mentioned that it would be a plus in the application process, they also make it clear that if you were, let's say, Bucerius and you spoke enough German to take advantage of it, you're welcome to sit in on German language classes. The classes you would take as an exchange student would be in English. They designed those specifically. That's why you are not required to have German or Hebrew respectively. But if you're able to sit in on languages taught in the native language, you can imagine how much more you'd get out of the experience. So take Madrid, for example. It certainly would be a plus to you as a student. Yes?
If there's a J-term program at like another law school that's already been organized and there's connections with different schools, and there's a way to make a connection to that university, are we allowed to...
You mean in America?
Yes.
American, did you hear that question? She's asking about J-term courses at other American law schools. Is that something we've done, or...?
No, we no.
No. Okay. Carrie knows that.
You can attend another law, U.S. law school, however, there needs to be a compelling reason, and you go through Dean Ballinger for that.
Yeah.
It's typically because... I would say no for J-term because we really only have it for a semester away.
And then for a compelling reason,
compelling reason.
Yes?
If we're interested in a study abroad program with a university that you have a relationship with, is it possible to contact or talk to students who have gone there before to see what their experience was like?
Well, I think that was the question we were just responding to. I think there might be some privacy concerns about just giving you their names. Is that's your...
Correct, and the fact that they're alums and we may not even know where they are. Or
yeah,
contact.
Yeah.
Okay. See, you do it during your third year, so they're gone. The people who are currently there are current 3Ls. So once, I think, once we know which program you're going to go to, we can probably arrange for you to speak with them. And they'll also be here all spring, back here.
Yeah. So I understand your reason for that. I would feel the same way, but I think there might be some problems in doing that. Yes?
What are the class sizes like?
I'm sorry?
What are the class sizes like? Have they been specifically arranged just for English speakers?
I have no idea. It's probably best to contact the school itself. Yeah. Maybe their website will have some.
Website might. I didn't get the in browsing the websites, I didn't pick up schools that actually mentioned that. My guess is they keep that open. They obviously have exchange relationships with other schools as well. I mean, I think just yesterday I was talking to a German professor. A brand new law school is about to be founded, is coming into being near Frankfurt. EBS Law School is called, and they want to have reciprocal relationships with like 50 universities around the world, but they only want to have no more than 2 people from any one university there. So that would mean, theoretically, you could have 100 people there. But my guess is no program would be bigger than that. Most would be smaller.
Right.
Bucerius is small.
It's actually the same
kind of arrangement.
Every Bucerius student has to do an international experience as part of their program.
Yeah.
So they've got a lot of sister schools. Actually, where you probably find it is looking at the course catalog at the institution, just like you would look at ours to see what size the classes are.
Yeah.
And what classes they offer.
Yeah, that's right. They will have a course directory of classes, and especially for Bucerius or Tel Aviv, they'll be very specific about which ones would be in English. But they'd also have the German or Hebrew language classes listed. So I think all of them would have the same course directory that we have.
Presumably. And I've never heard a comment of anything about anybody having difficulty getting a course. But it doesn't mean that they got their first choice. I don't know. I've never heard a comment about course selection.
Yeah. I don't know the answer to this, but I'm guessing that for the English language courses, you'd get in any of those that you want to get in. And I think that would be the case, yes.
Do you have any sort of summer options? I noticed on the website it said that there were some students that spent a summer in Tel Aviv. Was there any other options?
Summer?
Yeah.
Well, summer courses.
No, again, I don't know that they did it. They didn't do it through us to transfer the credits. Now they, I don't know.
Yeah.
Again, we only approve summer credit at other schools for compelling reasons. Yeah. But again, if you look at the academic policies, it lists what kinds of reasons.
Yeah. And that theoretically could include a foreign university, I suppose.
Certainly.
Could, I mean.
And there is another program actually available that we typically don't talk about, but if you look in the academic policies, there's a program, coursework at international law schools. And the reason we don't really talk about it is because it only allows you up to 6 credits, and so therefore it doesn't count as a residency semester, and so it's adding on to the 6 semesters here. I've never had anyone do that program. That was a precursor to before we had all these other programs,
right.
And it's just never disappeared. Mm-hmm. It's an option, but it's not going to count like a residency semester.
Right.
So it's kind of like, unless you have a lot of time and money.
Yes.
How many students do you choose for the 1 year in Paris program, like UVA? How many students?
The 1 year in Paris program, there's no limit. Is it two? Is it two? Sorry. Thank you. I'm glad you're here.
Both from UVA get Skinner. Accepted?
The vast majority are two, yes.
Are two L's, you say?
Yeah. And while we're talking about CS Po, I want to make one other point.
Good point, we didn't talk about it. Yeah, go ahead.
Because it is your entire third year, you need to finish your graduation requirements by the end of your second year. Except you can do your upper level writing requirement, but it would mean doing an independent research here, and that's really going to add on to your work, because I think that's a pretty heavy program in France.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
You would want to complete your professional skills, your professional ethics, and your upper level writing requirement by the end of spring.
Yep.
You also would have to complete all of your credits minus 27, so that's what, 59. You'd have to have 59 credits at the end of your second year, because we're going to give you 27, that gets you to 86. So.
Mm-hmm. Well, so the 1 year in Paris, that's going to be your third year, right?
It is your third year.
But for the other study abroad programs, you can do your second year? Or is everything your third year? I thought you could study abroad your second year.
No, study abroad is your third year, except for Tel Aviv this coming spring.
Tel Aviv spring of your...
Early this year to study abroad our third year?
Correct.
Wow, okay.
So we're talking next fall. If you're a 2L right now, it would be your 3L fall that you'd be going over.
But I'm a 1L right now.
You're 1L. Well, you're, at this point...
You're getting good information and you plan ahead.
That's right.
And even the ones that you structure yourself, you can't study abroad until the third year?
I'm sorry.
Even if you structure a program yourself, you can't study until the third year?
Well, the student-initiated could be done any...
It's your, I believe it's your fourth or fifth semester.
Yeah, the fourth or fifth semester, that's right.
Second semester, second year, fall of third.
Yeah. So if it's student-initiated, this personally designed program, you couldn't ask to do it in the spring of your third year. You'd have to be here in residence here, but you could do it in the spring of your second year or the fall of your third year. That's
mostly dictated by calendar, because we found that, like, if you went in the spring of your third year, their courses may not even end till June, and so you would miss the May graduation, which you wouldn't want to do.
Yep. Yes.
Do you know, going back to the Sciences Po Sorbonne program, do you know what the official language requirement is, if it's B2 or C1 or C2 or whatever, in terms of the TCF or DELF tests, the language standards?
At Sciences Po?
Yeah.
I do not. I know that, the best thing is just go to their website.
It's a little convoluted. Sometimes it's B2, sometimes it's C1. I sent them an email and they gave me back an answer to B2, but I'm not at all confident, because that's sort of a little bit lower than what you might expect. So I don't, but you don't have any better.
I know there was 1 year that, I think we have our fourth set of students there this year. The first 1 or 2 years, there was just, you know, they accepted them.
Yeah.
There was 1 year, I know, where they asked for a separate app, written a writing sample in French. They said that year that they had excess apps, and they were, I guess they
were trying to weed them out.
Now, whether I'm aware they did it that 1 year, whether they've done it every year since, I am unaware. But
okay.
Mm-hmm. Now, I can tell you that everyone who has gone, who has finished the program, has completed it. And that was the second thing I wanted to tell you is, I got an email yesterday from one of our students who graduated in 2008, who spent the third year there. He now works for a U.S. firm in Paris. And no doubt that had something.
Pretty good. He did pass the French bar, obviously, yeah. Question.
I mean, I'm sure it varies from year to year, but in recent years, which programs have been more competitive to get into?
In terms of getting into them, well, I think on balance, the Australian and New Zealand programs have been popular. That's your recollection in terms of student applications. It may be because there's no language barrier at all, you know, when you think about culturally, or maybe people just like going down under. But I think by and large, there's a little, but I don't think it's pronounced. That's my impression. I mean, I wouldn't worry about that. I would just look at the programs that you think fit your legal plans, your professional plans, your personal interests. Yes?
You said that you could get extra credits by doing an independent study. If
yes.
you're taking language classes, say Japanese at Waseda, could you also get credits for those courses, or is that sort of just on your own time?
Well,
credit for language courses
language,
when you're there?
Not the law courses in the native language, but just language courses like Japanese as a second language.
No, most students do do it, but it is not applicable towards a JD degree.
Yeah. Okay. Good. Yes.
You said for the Australian programs that you start early.
Yes.
You end.
In July.
No, when you add the program.
When do you what?
Add
them.
And
end them. When do they conclude? Sorry.
I think most of them said November.
November. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be.
Yeah.
We can check that out, but that.
Yeah, if there are any in particular that you're interested in, I can double check that for you to get some set end dates.
Okay.
I mean, they would end, if anything, earlier than we would here. They would certainly not end later. I mean, I think, correct me if I'm wrong, Carrie, I seem to have read somewhere that at one time there were some sort of post-Christmas exams or something, but they shifted that around so that students here could be sure to be back in time for UVA classes. So I think I'm safe in saying that's not a problem, the ending date.
And that's the same for all of the programs?
Correct.
The ones that start, I guess, at the more normal time,
yeah,
they still get done approximately
yes.
the same that we do?
Yeah. I think there may be one or two programs where they start, if they run through the full course, they might lap over an extra week or something, but for the foreign students, they've worked it out so you get the full credit and the full instruction and still wind up in time. Yeah. So I think that's not a problem.
Returning to the year-long in France thing, I remember hearing, and maybe I was mistaken in this, that if you do that program, it precludes you from taking the first round of the American bar, because it runs longer than our law school. Is that incorrect?
That's incorrect. Yeah, no, the people, they're actually back and they go through our commencement.
Oh, perfect. So you can come back and you can be in the same stream as everybody else.
Yeah, to take
so
that.
Okay.
Yes.
Are there any special requirements for applying to the Sciences Po program?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear.
Are there any special requirements for applying to the year-long in France program, like aside from?
Not here, but their application form.
Okay.
We're nominating
yeah.
you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Their application form may be more in depth.
Okay.
Yep. Same deadline though for applying. Any other questions? Thank you. If you think of questions later on, oh yes, I'm sorry.
Cost. How much do we pay here versus paying this?
Okay.
Is there like a retainer fee paid here, and then we pay full tuition there? Or?
No, that's the beauty of an exchange, is that you pay your tuition here and you go there. Those students pay their tuition here and come here. So you're paying each other's tuition.
Yeah.
Okay.
And Now, you may have, if you think that you may have increased costs associated with it, then you can talk to the financial aid office. There is a way for them to, as you may know, if you're getting financial aid, they figure up a total cost of attending here for the year that includes living and books and tuition and all of those kinds of things. If you believe that the costs going there are going to be greater than what they use for this, then you need to, they'll work with you to, and if they agree, then they can increase your eligibility for...
I think they're understanding of that too, aren't they? I mean, they've run into that sort of request. But the fundamental point that Carrie made was that the tuition you pay is paid here, and a student who's from that university coming to this one, they pay their tuition on the other side, so it's kind of a swap. They're swapping bodies, in effect. And I guess, because otherwise it would be a nightmare to try to work out the comparable tuitions.
Now, if you do the student initiated study abroad, it's a totally different arrangement. And, but other than, And of course, the J-term in Paris has no extra fee to the university for that. That's just, J-term courses are free, quote.
Yeah.
There's no separate fee for a J-term course. However, going to Paris, obviously, you've got...
The only thing you would pay in the J-term course in Paris would be they do make arrangements for housing and meals. And if you want their program, $1,000 or something like that. I mean, there's a fee for that, obviously. But you'd have to live somewhere and eat somewhere anyway. But that, other than that, there are no other expenses connected with the J-term in Paris.
And none of the other semester programs have that kind of prearranged for foreign students? You would just need to find your own place to live, or do the universities have on campus?
Most of the universities, from what I found on their websites, actually do provide assistance in finding housing for you. And once you're accepted and that agreement has come about, then most of them have international studies offices where they actually work with you for the housing.
And if we can do our part of it during October, which is our hope, I mentioned that our committee would try to make the selections and work that out. You would hear from us individually sometime during October. That gives you plenty of lead time to be working out not only applying over there, but assuming you go, then housing and all that kind of thing. And I think you'd find, again, we've tried to be pretty rigorous in selecting the universities, partly for the care and feeding sort of angle, that they look out for our students while you're there. I think that would work well. Comfortable with that.
And to answer your question, I double-checked the notes, and Auckland and the two Australian schools, they say till mid-November.
End of November, yeah, good.
And is it beginning of July that they start, or?
Mid.
The July thing.
Yeah, so you would have time to do like a 6 weeks with a law firm or something, that first half of the summer kind of program, but you couldn't sign on for a whole summer. So, any other questions? But if you think of something later on, correspond with us. I'll be happy to answer questions that I might be able to, and I'm sure the Student Records Office will do the same. So we look forward to hearing from you. Thanks for coming this afternoon.